question period is strictly someone can ask you a question, then they wait to see if we can get an answer?
Unless we have the answer.
Very good. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Any other questions?
In a previous meeting, there was a building in Shelburne mentioned that had encountered a break-in at one point, and it is filled with asbestos. And I was just wondering if there's a follow-up on that coming.
Good question. I don't know. Follow-up on...
What was happening with that report that I think Carol was mentioning that it was coming?
In relation to the building? Or
the building. What will happen with the building? Okay.
The building in question was broken into quite a while ago. And
there's probably cleanup required by the public workshop, which is a separate building completely.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what was that?
And so the building I think you're referring to is the old hydro building.
Okay.
So there was some cleanup that was performed there. Everything has been sealed up again, and it's back in use for storage.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Last call for question period. Okay, then we'll close the question period. We want to look at each. We have Nigel Bell Chamber here with us to talk about our upcoming CAO recruitment. Come on up to the hot seat, Mr. Bell Chamber.
Thank you very much, Richard. Thanks very much for allowing me to appear at Council today, and in particular on the opportunity this afternoon to spend some time with the senior members of the staff, the clerk, the treasurer, and the CAO. And they were very helpful in terms of filling me in on a number of issues and some history and some challenges on years ahead would be useful in terms of recruiting the CAO. I want to bring up to date on the process and just a fairly short presentation. And it's in line with the submission that I made when we accepted my assistance. The application is closed on November 22nd. And there were, as I say here, a significant number of experienced candidates. In fact, there were 37 candidates applied to applications, which is close to a dozen more than you would expect. CA position in lots of parts of Ontario. Eastern Ontario wouldn't get that number. I can think of one other municipality over about 25 where we had that number apply. So there's clearly significant interest in working with the town of Shelburne. And those applicants, there are some professional planners in the group. There are people with either engineering designations or technician designations. There are CPAs. There's some really good depth in the applicant pool. The next step in the process is to get that 37 down to a reasonable number for first interview. And that first interview number should be about 8. That will take a full day of interviews for a recruitment committee of council. And I would recommend that the recruitment committee has the mayor plus two other members. Keep it short of the form of council. Even though it's a committee, it has to have public notice, it's to have open meetings, but it follows the procedure for closing the meeting because you're dealing with personal information about identified individuals. Customary for the clerk to delegate the clerk's responsibilities to meet the clerk's committee so that everything is kept in accordance with the law. What that process is what I refer to as a structured interview. Every candidate is asked the same questions in the same way. And I suggest that the meeting be shortlisted. The rest of the timetable here, but the December 7th, later this week, if you can establish your committee, Mr. Mayor, the evening or late afternoon of December the 7th would, I think, be a really practical date in order to do that. If we do that, and that then allows, if it's
somebody could click to the next slide. That allow us to do the first interviews the week of December the 11th. So I need to put a little time, probably later on the evening. So we could actually put it in the week of December 11th to let those interviews. Second interviews, we try and move immediately quickly after that to the week of December 8th. If you go any slower, you just run into the holidays and figure out that very well. In between the first and second interview, we need to recommend online psychometric profiling. The first interview is to get a sense of the first individual. The second interview is to determine their behavior in situations. So that's why the psychometric interview profile is an online test. It allows you to probe for some, perhaps, we say work or activities the candidate may not like or may not be comfortable with. Like this is totally fair. So you're always going to find some areas where people have some what you call it, challenges. In between first and second interview, if the first interview is 8, the second interview might be 4. Certainly wouldn't interview as many the second time. Usually out of 8 you can whittle it down, but I've seen it still go down to 6, but preferably it gets down a little more. So limited negotiations with the candidate can take place at that time. Basically that's between me and the candidate to get a sense of, all right, given what they've heard and what they've seen, what kind of circumstances and kind of conditions might they want to kind of work for shelter. So you get a sense of whether you're in the ballpark or whether you're in the ballpark or not. Following the second interview is where you really do the serious negotiations and checking references. It's important to check references both formal and informal references. I've had it's very interesting. People really talk. I had one occasion where someone from northern Alberta had a fabulous interview, and Googling the candidate's name, if you're Googling the municipality, I discovered that the candidate had someone with the same first name that the other municipality had a tremendous problem. It turned out the person went by two different names. I understand that the criminal activity involved with the former municipality prior to that was cleared up about a year ago. Anyway, it's handy to check references. It's critical to check references. The objective in all of this is to get a appointment agreement with one preferred candidate who is going to be presented to council following an interview with council. It's important that council see the full council see the preferred candidate in a closed session. And that if they are happy with the recruitment committee's recommendation for a candidate, then the opportunity there is to look at the employment agreement and pass the bylaw at that meeting. All of the work has been done at that. That could happen on January 8th, would be the first council date. And following that interview, that council meeting would be the point of my life being passed. People normally need to get at least a month. So that would be, maybe February the 8th, might be February the 12th, whatever that date works. I see a smile over here. There's some important things to remember in this whole process is that confidentiality is absolutely there. It's absolutely essential. I've had situations where your candidates' names have been shared by a member of the recruitment committee, and suddenly the person withdrew because they didn't want to risk losing their employment or confidence of their current employer because they were applying for another position, because there wasn't some certainty. Candidates, right here. So it's really, really important. Nelson, did you think that the location other than town hall, so that people are looking at who's coming in and out? And in fact, you go to the trouble of having two doors. One door that the candidate comes in, sits, waits, go into the interview, and you send out another door so they don't walk past the next candidate. Those little sorts of things make a lot of difference to the integrity and confidentiality, and the candidates appreciate that. In terms of compensation, it's not quite a seller's market yet. And given the amount of interest, it's not as if you'll have to, I shouldn't say this, you'll probably have to pay more than you have been paying in the last 4 or 5 years if you want a candidate with qualifications and experience similar to the candidate that you have. Several of the candidates in the pool are making an excessive return compensation or what's in your budget. And I think you probably need to take a look at the policy, at least for the CAO, and having one figure or one schedule that covers everything as opposed to optional description of the time. That's quite frankly what you expect to see, although the pay is expecting 40 hours a week, they probably work 60. So it's not a case of having people in law over time, it's a case of paying. Because that's what the rest of the world is. So I think that's important. There will probably be some other exceptions to the current policy. For instance, if you have a new employee starts with 2 or 3 weeks holidays, 2 maybe, you don't find somebody start a CEO position with less than 4. And if a person's coming from a position where they currently have 6, I've been able to negotiate them down to 5, which is sure can't get somebody to go from 6 to 4. They're at that stage in their career. So there's those sorts of things in there. They're not the showstopper stuff, quite frankly. Because again, you get senior staff, like the people I'm looking at here, regardless of the number of holidays they have, they get the job done as well. So that's not the critical level. So I don't get the sense that you'll have to go crazy in terms of the salary, but I would not be surprised if you need to go into where you currently are. Happy to answer any questions that you might have about the process.
Fair enough. Is there any question for council?
I have a question. This is probably more your curiosity. You talked about assessing the background of the using social media.
Google. Using Google. Using Google, not social media.
Oh, okay, I see it. I was just wondering if there's a sort of standard criteria that would follow, whether it's Google or otherwise, to assess the suitability of the candidate. And the reason why I say that is because you don't want to disqualify somebody unnecessarily based on what they may have on social media.
That's right. I wouldn't do it based on social media. It's perfect. You can never tell who actually posted it. But in terms of Google, if it's a news publication that says, XYZ was not what they report to be from their experience. That's right. Okay. You don't find that most CEOs today or CEO candidates are significant social media from an older generation as opposed to younger.
Wow.
Any other questions?
Just one. I mean, 37 applicants is a fantastic response, but from that pool of candidates, you're confident that you're able to find somebody who fits the role.
There are people in that pool that would meet your requirements. I mean, basically, what I do with meeting up the interview committee is I would bring a full binder for everybody to see everybody, even if the person doesn't stand a remote chance because they misread the ad. Because it could be somebody, your worship, that you meet on the street and say, this is an application. You're going to be able to say, yes, I did. And there was a lot of really good candidates in the competition with Steph. I'm sorry. But it,
it's important to know, because it's a smaller community, community where you're well connected. But what I usually do is take them and break them down to A's, B's, and C's. And I've just gone through them again today, and there are, B's are probably the largest number. There aren't that many C's in the category. And a significant number of A's, and I'll break those into A pluses and A minuses. But many may know some of the people, and if they do that, they say, we know that person. Thank you.